G'day there, and welcome back to the Convergently Speaking podcast. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking about the Gottman method, positive versus negative sentiment override. Well, welcome back, and I'm glad you could be here. I'm also glad to be here. As you'll see, it's been a few weeks since we released an episode. I have reasons, but not really excuses. We've had a lot going on in our life. We've had some pretty significant health issues in our family. But anyhow, here I am, and I'm extremely excited to talk to you about this topic. I actually found myself puzzling over why I haven't touched on this topic previously. Because the topic and the ideas that I'm going to talk about today are some of the most central to what I do when working with couples. As I've spoken about previously, when working with couples to help them improve and heal their relationship, I use a whole range of different ideas and models and approaches. And one of the central ones is the Gottman method. The thing I really like about the Gottman method is that everything within it is based on rigorous research that's been done with, I think they're at about 3,000 plus couples at this point. And this includes the idea of positive versus negative sentiment override. Now, I must say, this idea is one of those ideas that when I heard it wasn't new to me, and I suspect it'll be the same for many of you. Rather, it gave language to a feeling, a vibe, a concept, something I'd already observed and felt when working with couples, but just in general. So technically speaking, what we're talking about is positive versus negative sentiment override. Now, unfortunately, I find that when explaining this to couples, that the kind of the wordiness and the academic sounding nature of it can be a bit of a block. And so I generally just sum it up as negative feelings or positive feelings within one's relationship. And at the core, this is the idea that when you have more negative feelings than positive feelings, the negative feelings end up being the primary feature of the relationship and the primary lens by which one looks at their relationship. So I feel like there's a really good metaphor for explaining this concept. And I really go back to my childhood and think about swimming in the pool in summer. My grandparents had one of these outdoor pools that you set up. Now, to me as a little kid, it felt like a pretty big pool. But looking back on it, it was probably like 6 foot across or something like that. But myself and sometimes one or two of my cousins, we would get in the pool and we would swim around the outside. And the more that we swam around the outside, the more that the speed of the water going in the direction that we were swimming, the more the water would speed up. And as I'm sure you understand, after a while, the water sort of gains its own momentum and it keeps spinning for a while without any help. Now, of course, as kids, we wanted to mix it up and at some point we would then start swimming the other way. But the water wouldn't immediately comply with our wishes. We could start swimming the other way, however, the water would still go in the direction that we were going. And then after a little bit, there'd be this kind of interim point where the water wasn't really going any direction. It was kind of bumping around and it was sort of in this stuck halfway position. And then after a little bit, it would slowly start to follow our lead and it would start to spin in the other way. And then the momentum would build. And then sure enough, we've now reversed the way the water's spinning. I think this is a really good visual for the concept of negative versus positive sentiment override in a relationship and the way in which it functions in a relationship. When a couple comes to me and they're in a state of negative sentiment override, it's essentially like there's been so much negativity fed into the relationship. Possibly there have been traumas and outside of events that have contributed, but fundamentally it's decisions that the couple, one or both of them, have made. Usually many, many micro decisions on a daily, weekly, monthly basis that have then taken the feelings within the relationship to tip over into being more negative than positive. The momentum, like the pool, has built. And this negativity has kind of taken on a life of its own. There's a momentum to it. And so for a lot of the couples I meet, this is kind of perplexing. And the reason it's perplexing is that in most cases, both of them at various moments will wake up, it'll be a sunny day, they're feeling good, they're going to jump out of bed and they're saying, right, I'm going to be the best husband or wife I can be today. And they'll kick things off in a really positive way. They might go and make a coffee for their partner, they might compliment them, they might take time to listen to them, whatever it is, they genuinely wake up with this positive intent and act on that positive intent. However, if there's negative sentiment override, this small bit of action, which might go for an hour or two, doesn't have much impact on this momentum, on the spinning of the water. And similar to when I was a kid and we tried to reverse the way the water was spinning, the initial effort really had no impact. And then the preceding effort had minimal impact. And it actually took a moment for the momentum, for us to be able to change the direction of the momentum and flip it back around in the other way. And this is exactly how it works with couples. And so what I find is that with couples, there'll be regular occurrences where both of them will give a red hot go to making a difference. But within an hour or 2 hours, whatever, half a day, all the steam from their efforts has been drained away because they're actually working against the momentum that's been built. They're actually working against this negativity that's essentially running the show at this point. And it's a negativity that's impacting both of them. So even if they're positive in that moment, at a more fundamental level, they're really aware that there's this undercurrent of negativity. And so, of course, when they put in good effort and then they get a bad response from their partner, for example, their partner might say, oh, this coffee's too hot, or this coffee's too cold, or why are you acting weird? Why are you all of a sudden making me breakfast? I've got to go off to work. I'm in a hurry. And they give in to this negative sentiment. Then the person who jumped out of bed with a good attitude and good intentions quickly gets pulled back into the negativity. And honestly, it can actually increase the negativity more because there's this story that then comes for them. Oh, it's not effing worth my time. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I tried to do something nice for him or for her, and all they did was throw it back in my face. So whilst I'm not going to dispute that the negative or positive sentiment is created and perpetuated by the individuals, there is a degree to which, at a point, this takes on a life of its own. Like the water, it is its own force. And I strongly believe that when you put two people together, you kind of have this alchemical mix of person A and person B, and it creates another entity. It creates another energy. I'm sure we've all had experiences of people that we've known that are lovely on their own, but when they get together, they're bad news. Oh, I had this growing up. I had some friends that were fine on their own, but when a few of them got together, all of a sudden they'd gang up on me and I'd be picked on, and they created this sort of this third entity, which was a net negative. And so when you have a couple together, you can have a dynamic that they can essentially be a good influence on each other or a bad influence on each other. And when you're into this negative sentiment override, this entity that's created, this energy that emanates from the couple is a net negative. Now, the good news in all of this is that it's not actually that difficult, or I should say it's not that complicated to change a relationship from negative sentiment override into positive sentiment override. And as I'm guessing you've worked out by now, positive sentiment works in the same way, that when you feed in enough good stuff, when you choose on a daily, weekly, monthly basis to focus on the good, to practice gratefulness, to practice appreciation, not just internally, but also outwardly, speaking about these things to your partner, appreciating them, acknowledging them, and yeah, just basically feeding in good stuff, I've actually seen it really, really quickly turn around for people. I have one couple in mind that after 3 sessions, the negative sentiment flipped and turned into positive sentiment. And I would say that this sort of mirrors the initial period of a relationship, the initial period of falling in love, the honeymoon period. It's really like this extreme positive sentiment override. When you fall in love, there's a whole bunch of happy chemicals that are released, and that biases us to seeing everything through, you know, rose-colored glasses, to seeing everything through a positive lens. Now, say rose-colored glasses because this is usually a positivity that's a bit out of step with reality, and the suggestion is that these happy chemicals are released in us to encourage us to commit to the partner, to commit to the relationship, you know, from a biological evolutionary process to then procreate. Because we know that children thrive when they have parents that are committed to one another, that love one another. So whilst getting into positive sentiments not going to be the same feeling as when you first fell in love, at a functional level, it's actually quite similar. When you have enough of positive sentiment, enough of positive feeling in your relationship, you get the reverse of my first scenario. So you can actually jump out of bed feeling a bit grumpy, feeling maybe you've had a bad sleep or you've got something stressful on at work, and the normal things that you would do that were positive, maybe you normally make a coffee, you forget to do this, or you do make a coffee that's too cold or too hot. But when there's positive sentiment in the relationship, then the partner, rather than taking this as yet another sign that the relationship's doomed and not going well, they actually have space. They actually have a bit of extra grace and love and care and compassion in the tank because of all the good sentiment, that they're not going to have this out of proportion emotional reaction to the fact that you made them a hot coffee or a cold coffee or you forgot to make a coffee at all. And so it acts as a protective mechanism to relational happiness, marital happiness declining. And so when there's negative sentiment, you've got a relationship which is biased towards a decline in relational happiness, as work's done and strategies are put in place to feed in good stuff into the relationship, you can get to this place where a relationship can actually cope with small stuff ups, medium stuff ups, and honestly, sometimes even large stuff ups, big breaches of trust. To name a few examples, a person who develops a gambling habit because of their own emotional issues or trauma or whatever reason, if there's enough positive sentiment in the relationship, if there's enough trust between the couple, then the relationship can actually survive this. Now, don't get me wrong, it's going to be a process of healing and rebuilding of trust that needs to occur, but a relationship can weather these type of storms. And I see this in my private practice, right? So I'll have couples that come to me that have had, you know, 20 years of blissful marriage, and now there's been some sort of a breach of trust. And they come to me where they're essentially saying, he or she's done this thing, but I don't want to throw the whole relationship in the toilet because overall, there's more good memories and positive experiences that there are negative. And for me, working with couples like this, I have a much more solid base to sort of launch off from. And on the contrary, I'll have couples that come that actually haven't had any big issues, big hurts, big breaches of trust. And yet they're maybe on the verge of separation or divorce. And they're literally arguing about things like stacking the dishwasher wrong or not picking up after oneself or just these little kind of domestic squabbles. And yet they're on the verge of separation. And these are couples that are usually bewildered. They're like, I don't hate him. I don't hate her. We don't have any big issues. We're financially well off. The kids are happy and all these type of things. And there's this bewilderment as to why are things so bad? What's happened? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it is this negative sentiment that they've allowed to seep in that's become the main narrative, that's become the main story of their relationship. So as I said at the beginning, this is an idea and a concept that I use almost with every couple that I work with because it's so profound, and when understood, it can be such an encouragement to keep on keeping on, right? To put in the effort to realize that the momentum of the relationship, just like the momentum of the water, can be changed. And just like with the water, it might take a moment. And it takes some energy and effort. You only need to change the direction once, and then you can take your foot off the accelerator and you can just maintain that. When you're circling in the direction of positive sentiment, you don't need to be perfect. You just need to be getting it right more than you get it wrong. And this isn't to say you should be slack, but rather it's just As the Gottmans say, small things done often to then maintain that positive sentiment. So making sure that you celebrate important days, making sure that if they do or don't like some sort of food, you recall that and you don't make them a coffee if they want to drink tea. Or if you know that they are really close to their mother and the anniversary of their mother's passing is coming up, that you honor that you acknowledge that you offer some care and support. It's really just making sure that the most important things to your partner and to your relationship in general are kept at front and center, and that the negative things and the difficult things are kept in their place. So I hope this has been helpful. You can look this concept up online. The Gottman Institute have a lovely article on this topic, which is called 3 Ways to Keep Your Relationship in the Positive Perspective. But I suppose if I'm going to leave you with a final thought on this front, it's that if you're listening along and you're struggling with this and you're wondering what to do and how to go forward, I've obviously not covered and can't cover in one podcast all the different strategies and ways that you can flip from negative to positive sentiment. But the thought I want to leave with you, that the word of encouragement that I want to leave with you is to challenge yourself to start seeing this as not an issue with yourself or your partner, rather an issue that's external to you. For the scientists out there, this is probably not an empirically fair way to sum it up. But you can kind of think of it as a physics thing, right? There is an energy, there is a momentum that isn't fully on the shoulder of yourself or your partner, but it's a momentum that's outside of you. So you can actually think of this as coming together, almost colluding together to actually go at reversing the momentum of the water of your relationship. This isn't an issue with yourself or your partner as much as it's an issue with the ways in which you guys have fed this third entity of your relationship. If you feed in negative stuff, it will spit out negative stuff, which means that if you feed in positive, it will spit out positive feelings, and the very center of gravity of your relationship can change. So that's all I have for you today. I hope this has been of benefit, and until next time, stay curious.